How come they always gotta smoke shit in their movies?
Are you guys ready to record this whole thing all over again?
I didn't care for it. I didn't buy it.
That seems pretty ridiculous.
I don't even want to think about the possibility of you having your dick out.
Yikes.
Is this the most important thing in the universe? What happened to it? I don't know.
I needed to suck in absolutely every moment of awesomeness.
Yeah.
Welcome back to another fun episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. And I know it's going to be fun because the last couple have been super fun. This one's going to be even more fun. Everybody's amped. Everyone's excited. Justin, Randy, Amanda, how excited are you?
Ew.
Fabulous.
No.
Scale of 1 to 10, I'm about a 6.
Yes. You're out. Come on. We can pump for this shit.
I'm totally psyched. Shit.
At least 50% of us saw 10 Cloverfield Lane. Would you see it, Randy?
Nope.
Yeah, 50%. So, Justin, why don't you tell us how amazing 10
Cloverfield
quotes Lane is?
It doesn't roll off the tongue so easily, does it? No. Stay away from numbers. They always fuck up everything, especially like your movie order, because you got to put the numbers first, like on your bookcase. You should call it a movie case because there's no books but movies.
And then they stop numbering them?
Yeah.
What the fuck is that, Rocky Balboa?
It's part two, but there's a 10. Doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Loved it.
Why isn't it Rocky 6?
I don't know.
It's, asshole.
It's just Rocky. It's Balboa.
I interrupted you.
No, I actually loved it, man. I thought it was so good. Went and saw it by myself. I was really scared. It was a bit of a mind fuck, man. I didn't know who to trust. Hubba, hubba, hubba. Who do you trust?
Yeah, and
hubba,
just
hubba, hubba. Money, money, money.
Me? I'm giving away free money.
And where? This is the Batman.
No, it was good, man. I really, really dug it. I didn't know what to believe. I was scared. I was nervous. And when it was over, I was laughing. I thought it was fantastic. I had such... It turned into like a feel-good movie of the year when it was all said and done. I was like, holy shit. That's how you make a fucking movie. I dug it.
I don't know about the feel-good movie of the year.
Oh, at the very end, didn't you just get... Like, how fun.
Yeah.
I did.
No, I don't know.
I was sold. I thought all three performances were amazing. John Goodman wins the award for loudest breather in the world. That used to be Tony Soprano, but now it is John Goodman.
Yeah, I agree. I loved it a lot. And it just when you every time you thought you had a handle on the movie, it like took a radical turn. Like just when you think one way about John Goodman, something happens, and you think another way and something happens, and then they just like just hit you over the head with the ending. And I couldn't I highly recommend it.
Yes. Good stuff.
Even though Randy probably won't ever see it because he hates us.
Yeah, he'll watch it.
And he's at a 6.
He'll watch the TV edited version 10 years later and forget all about it.
Yeah, then I'll talk to you guys. Hey, did you ever see this movie?
John Goodman's in it. Like Roseanne, John Goodman. Like Red State, John Goodman.
His face is kind of droopy. Man, what'd you think of the Civil War trailer?
I thought it was good.
Yeah, you pumped?
Yeah. I liked that... Well, I'm now a little bit confused, though. Like, is it... Because the first trailers made it seem like it was about What's-His-Face.
Who's What's-His-Face?
Bucky?
Yeah, Bucky. But now it seems like it's probably not about Bucky at all.
I think it is.
Sort of, kind of.
I think there's two things happening. I think there's some bad guys that are doing some really horrible shit. And at the same time, there are... Captain America's trying to get his buddy... to be like pardoned and accepted, and then the U.S. government saying fuck all this noise, and you know I don't like any of you, and if you want to be an Avenger, you're gonna have to sign this form, sign on the line which is dotted, and then half of them want to do it and the other half don't.
Yeah, I think.
But there is a big bad.
Yeah, I think Bucky's gonna be the catalyst.
I thought that what's his dick was gonna be the catalyst. Rhodey. Looks like he dies.
No, you can't keep a good War Machine down. Don't get me wrong. I love Don Cheadle, but I mean, if there is an expendable character on either roster, it is War Machine, though.
The black guy, Dave?
What are you talking about? Honestly. Falcon's black guy, too.
Oh, yeah.
Black Panther's a black guy.
Yeah, but they're new black guys. They got to go with the old black guy.
Don Cheadle never does anything.
Boogie Nights.
Even when he was even when he was what's-his-face, the character didn't do anything. Oh, what was the first guy who played him?
Terrence Howard.
Even when it was Terrence Howard, bro, he didn't do anything.
No. He's just his friend.
I think this trailer was really good. I think it was the first one that kind of got the emotional depth. And, you know, obviously it ended with Spider-Man, which is cool. But I think that this was the first one that really cemented that this is going to be a movie you want to see. The other ones were like, it's just a Marvel movie. This one seemed like it had a little bit more meat to it. And I think a lot of that is, you know, compliments of the Russo brothers who did, you know, Winter Soldier, which to me was such a grand slam, you know. And so if this is what they're doing next and after this is Avengers, you know, I'm on board for the Russo's vision of the Marvel Universe. What do you think, Randy?
I like it.
Where do you get great?
Awesome. Did you like Spider-Man at the end? He calls him Underoos.
Yeah, hey, Underoos.
I like the reveal of Spider-Man at the end.
But I like the costume. I thought the costume looked very 70s.
It is. It's very classic, like down to the eyes and everything.
Mm-hmm. The logo, too, is like super small.
Yeah, it's very muted.
That's why it looks so. The costume looks so red because the like black spider is so small.
Sorry. Probably a lot of truth to that. Yeah, when I first watched it, the eyes really offended me, like on a deep personal level.
Deep personal level. You were offended.
Yeah, I mean, I bought the expressive, emotive eyes on the Deadpool costume because they're human-sized, and, you know, if he furls his brow, it kind of makes sense to be able to see that, even though physically it couldn't really penetrate leather or plastic or whatever the black part of his mask was. Now, with Spider-Man, I'm used to seeing these giant, big-ass, white, like, plastic lens kind of eyes, and to see eyes that look like they could emote was pretty bizarre to me. But after I watched it a couple times, I noticed there was kind of like the Suro sound, like a camera aperture going like zzz, zzz, kind of thing. So then I realized, okay, well, that's probably tech built into his mask, because I know he and Tony Stark are in cahoots. So it's probably some sort of fun tech in his mask. So I kind of got over it. But at first, the eyes rubbed me the wrong way.
Do you think this will be his reveal in the film? Do you think that's how he'll be revealed in the film? Or do you think we'll see Tony and him in like secret meetings before?
I think that would be a great reveal. Same way it was revealed to us, let it be revealed to the world.
But yeah. We've already seen the trailer, so it's like...
Well, by the world, I mean like the cinematic world, the cinematic universe.
But I mean, there's such a large population. I was surprised. I was talking to a lot of people who just don't watch trailers. I mean, for as many millions of people who watch this trailer, you know, 60% of people who go and see the movie will have not seen this trailer.
It's a big number.
It's just funny how marketing works that way. You know, like my parents will go see it, but they haven't seen the trailer. Feel bad I always pick on my parents. I use them as the example of assholes who don't like watch stuff.
Well, they're like, God, the universal sounding board.
Parents? Yeah, I love my parents more than anything.
Not more than me.
I don't know. If it was a good son situation, I had my parents on one hand, you on the other situation, you might go the way of the Culkin. But I don't know. It'd be a hard choice. I'd feel bad. Okay. But I agree with you, Randy, about the eyes. It harkens back to like the early days of Spider-Man in like the 60s and 70s, to where his eyes were real emotive like that. And I definitely hear like the servos of like he's like zooming in on Captain America's pecs because Chris Evans is so dreamy. Like, that's an in-shape dude. It's like Human Torch buff.
I like the Iron Spider-Man costume, which is what he wore kind of going into that. In the original Civil War comic?
Yeah.
This is where it's like gold and red and looks all badass. It's pretty sweet.
Yeah, I'll be curious to see how much Spider-Man we get in this movie.
Like 5 seconds. Pretty much that shot that was with Rhino and Spider-Man at the end of Amazing Spider-Man 2.
That's it. He's going to come out with a manhole cover and fight Rhino. Yeah. Worst character ever.
He's Rhino's pretty terrible. That's okay.
Were you the one who described him like he was wearing like a onesie or something?
Yeah, on the comic corner. Yeah, because the whole point was to discuss your favorite costumes and your least favorite costumes.
I remember that episode. Yeah. And then someone gave you shit for like a totally valid costume, and then Justin, you don't get it. You're stupid. And then like you know what my favorite costume is? Lex Luthor's suit. Yeah. I'm like, what? It's not even a costume.
I know.
And then later on, the same person said, like, Superboy's shirt, which is, like, a black shirt with an S on it. I had your back, Justin. I was screaming at my radio.
Yeah,
was
I said Batman. Yeah, it was this Iron Spider-Man. Iron Spider-Man, Batman Beyond, and fucking. Oh, it was like Medieval Spawn. That was one of them. I loved Medieval Spawn. I thought he looked badass. And it's beside the point, though.
In Superboy's defense, was he wearing his cool leather jacket a la the 90s version?
Yeah. There you go.
That, I mean, that
looking back at the camera and pointing at his thumb at the Superman logo.
Exactly.
He's like, hey, I'm like Superman, but I'm a boy.
I'm in the club. No big deal.
I can go like 10 times a day, if you know what I mean.
And I also liked Killer Croc from the Arkham games. Mm. Like Arkham Asylum. I thought he looked badass, too.
Not Killer Croc from Suicide Squad?
Mm-mm. Looks horrible.
Yeah, we'll have to see that in action, but so far not impressed.
But yeah, Civil War looks good, man. Yeah. This is the best trailer that we've seen.
I agree. Hands down.
I agree.
But was it better than the Sausage Party trailer?
Oh.
Probably. I wouldn't know, though, because I didn't watch it.
Ben is not even going to dignify it. Randy, tell us about Sausage Party.
Sausage Party is an amazing adventure between a pack of hot dogs and a bunch of very sexy-looking buns that they want to insert themselves into. And I don't even know what the fuck happens in the movie, but there's a lot of cursing, a lot of sexual innuendo, and a lot of drug references.
Yeah.
So I guess that equals funny, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Starts at a grocery store. Everyone wants to go home. Like, they think it's like they're like a pet or something. They're going to go to like someone's house and be loved. And finally they get there and they realize that they're there to be eaten and killed and stuff like that. And so they start freaking out. But it's got like an amazing cast. You know, Edward Norton's in it, James Franco, Jonah Hill, Kristen Wiig, Michael Cera, Nick Kroll, Paul Rudd, Selma Hayek, and of course Seth Rogen. And it's just funny to see like hot dogs and like cartoons swear still. Like it's like, I don't know, maybe it's just the Disney in me. I'm used to cartoon equals like sweet, but like when I hear an animated hot dog say fuck, or like baby carrots say like holy shit, gets me every time.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
We're all excited, I guess. What about The Tick? That's another animated show. What about The Tick coming to Amazon? Are we excited about that, Justin?
Yeah, I guess.
Is Patrick Warburton coming back?
I was just about to ask that.
No.
Yeah, he's busy on he kind of picked up an NBC show. So he may executive produce, but he will not be The Tick.
I mean, that's kind of ridiculous because when you're doing the voice, you sit there for like one day recording an entire season's worth of voices. I know it's not really as simple
it's live
as
action?
It sound, but
I thought
it was animated.
No, I think it's going to be, I don't know. I thought it was going to be live action.
Yeah, because I mean, the cartoon didn't have Patrick Warburton as the voice.
Okay, well, if it is live action, I stand corrected.
I stand erected.
You are. Yeah, I think it's got to be live action because they've already cast, Dot, and they cast Arthur. Mm. And so it's going to be live action. So that'll be fun. Spoon. Everyone likes The Tick.
Woo!
A lot of trailers this week. Do you guys care to talk about the Never Stop, Never Stopping or Ghostbusters International trailer?
Mm.
Or,
well, you guys like the Ghostbusters International trailer.
Or would you rather talk about Game of Thrones trailer?
But didn't you like the game? Didn't you like the Ghostbusters International trailer?
I did. I liked it. I thought it was a vast improvement over the original.
I liked it.
And how?
Amanda?
I don't know if it's healthy for Chris Hemsworth to keep getting buffed up and then skinny again and then buffed up and then skinny again. I'm worried about him. He always looks good, but that can't be healthy, right?
You should just go volunteer, like, nurse him back to health.
I wish.
Get him back in a Thor shape.
Mm.
So you weren't impressed, Justin, with the new trailer?
I didn't watch it.
Oh.
I don't watch trailers, Dave.
Obviously, but you watched the Game
of Thrones. I'm part of that 60% you mentioned.
What about the Game of Thrones trailer? Did you watch that one?
I did.
Well, tell us about that one then.
It's great. A lot of new crazy shit. We get to see. Honestly, I think that Cersei is going to be loved by all by the end of the season.
No.
I know you guys think I'm fucking crazy, but she's winning people over. I'm not that crazy.
Who has she won over?
She's winning hearts and minds.
Yes. When she kills all these religious nut jobs, people are going to be like, fuck yeah, Cersei.
Oh, they're going to be like Zombie Mountain.
Dude, spoilers.
Spoilers. It was the end of the shoot last season.
That's what everyone says. How do you know that that's a mountain? He died. Bravo, bravo, bravo.
I mean, maybe the mountain. Maybe he's the Hound. Isn't that what Ian McShane said?
No, but yeah, but he hasn't. Yes, but no, but that's that's a whole other kind of Clegane. There's a difference. But we got to see a lot of shit. You get there's gonna be more Greyjoy action, which is kind of a turnoff. But we haven't really been to the Iron Islands in a long time. But you see like some kind of aquatic ceremony happening on a cliff, and
maybe
yeah. So that's when they do the whole who's gonna be king type of deal. That could be interesting.
Who's on first?
Yeah, I'm not really a fan of any Greyjoys. And
was it Victarion who ended up winning the king's?
No, it was his brother. Victarion went on to some. He went like on a cruise. He went a carnival cruise to Essos or whatever, and then they got attacked.
He's the one with the axes, right?
Yeah, he's the badass one. He's the one that don't fuck around. I always think of Pete's from the either. Goof Troop as who I think of when I think of Victarion.
I did not instantly go Pete.
I just picture like this brutish man that can take on everyone.
Now, did season 5 end with Theon? We don't know where Theon went. We just know he jumped off the cliff with.
Yeah,
Sansa,
they're making
right?
snow angels in the,
right.
on the ground.
I couldn't remember if he got away or not.
They just jumped. Yeah. Last time someone fell from a tower in Winterfell, they broke their back. We'll see if they have better luck.
I thought you were gonna make a Prince of Thieves reference.
No.
They landed in hay. But Brent's smaller. He caught the wind and it kind of slowed him down.
Yeah, Bran's a real piece of shit. But what do you think of that part where he and the White Walker King connect? You see that? It looks like they actually stare at each other. So there's mystical forces. Yeah, well, because he's tapped into the juju of the woods.
He's in the Matrix.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, they're able to. It looks like they're able to see each other. It looks like the Witch King.
Whatever he is,
sees him. I mean, it could just be the way it was cut, but I think that would be damn neat if he's able to recognize that Bran has some type of magical power.
I definitely got that vibe that they shared a moment.
They had what you call a meet cute.
A meet cute.
Who calls it that?
Yeah, good shit. Then you get some more of the what do you call it? The Boltons flaying people. Now I seem to think that is Stannis that's upside down and flayed on that little X, but maybe I'm mistaken.
I think you're mistaken. I think Brienne's got him.
And I only say that because the nice fire lady said I saw his victory in the flames. What if she just sees fire and him burning?
Wait, did she say his victory?
She says I saw victory in the flames. I thought.
Well, in the trailer, I thought she like recants like I thought I saw, but now I know I didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought she said like what I saw in the flames was a lie or something like that. Mm.
I was wrong.
It's all about interpretation, though. She might have saw somebody cheering and being excited, but it wasn't Stannis.
Yeah, I saw someone. It looked kind of like you, but you're wrong.
It's hard to see with all this fire in my face.
It's hot, so I can't look too close.
Yeah. It's intense. So we'll see. And then what did you guys think of Davos saying, you know, not much of a fighter, and then Ghost is laying on Jon Snow's body, and there's all these brothers surrounding him?
Yeah, I think Davos is. I think he's protecting good old Jon Snow.
Woo! Yeah.
Maybe he's gonna take his body on his boat and send him someplace and get him some new juju to bring him back to life.
Yeah, I think that they want to burn him because that's what they do in the North, and that Melisandre is trying to atone in Davos' eyes, and so she's gonna tell him that she can save him. She has to go get some stuff, and he needs to protect him while she's gone.
Like some magical flower,
it's
a
like,
blue
I got
flower.
This.
Yeah, she's got to pick it.
She's got to get the blue flower from Liam Neeson in Batman.
Exactly. What? He's got to climb the cliff. I worked on it begins just yesterday.
It only grows on a certain side or something.
Yeah.
some bullshit.
He's making this shit up.
Mm-hmm.
Ra's al Ghul, my ass. Yeah, I really liked it. What about you, Randy? How'd you dig the trailer? As being someone who's completely in the dark, to where we're 90% in the dark, you're 100% in the dark. What were your impressions?
I'm so far in the dark, I didn't even watch the trailer.
That is far. It was even a Red Band trailer.
It was pretty good, dude.
I don't remember why. I don't think they swore or showed boobs, but oh well. Got to see Danny in chains. I think that's really, really a thrill for all of us, because I think we're all Danny haters. So.
I don't hate her. I just don't need to see her.
I don't hate her. I just wish she didn't exist in the show.
I like her in season one.
Before she got too famous and didn't want to get naked? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Yeah.
That's exactly what I was saying.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm just over Daenerys. And I know this is going to be just... It seems like it's just going to parallel season one for her, to where she starts from nothing. She has to... She gets in a shitty situation. She's got to overcome. And then by the end, she's supposed to be this great leader. But we saw it 5 seasons ago, and she hasn't gotten anywhere. It's not like she made great strides in the last 5 seasons. You know, she's still nowhere closer to being on the Iron Throne than she was in season one.
She's not winning hearts and minds.
Not like Cersei in Justin's eyes.
Oh, man, she's going to fucking kill it.
I agree. She's going to be badass.
The day she dies, you're going to be sad. I guarantee it.
I enjoy Cersei as a character, but I'm saying that no one's ever going to like be like, you know what, that's Cersei. She got a raw deal. I love her now.
Yeah, no, you will.
I don't think so.
Yep.
I'll be sad when Jaime has to tell her that her daughter's dead.
Oh, yeah.
And that then I hope this goes off the fucking deep end.
And then I'm surprised he just comes right back to King's Landing and doesn't pull back into port and say, hey, your fucking idiot sister-in-law killed my daughter.
I probably realized that the sand snakes would kill him. That he's got to go back for more men with more hands. Remember, between...
It's a numbers game.
Between him and Bronn, there's only 15 fingers there.
Yeah.
Presumably, who knows? There's no modern medicine there. Well, we didn't see a lot of Kit Harington or Jon Snow, and, you know, he's now telling everyone that he did film scenes for season 6, but that they were of him as a corpse, and it was his best acting yet, so...
Liar!
Going around the room, anyone buying this? Amanda, are you buying this?
No.
Justin, you buying this?
No.
Randy, are you going to be the one buying it?
Nope, not at all. Not even a little.
Not even at all?
Not even at all.
I don't know. Maybe I'm buying it. I think it would be funny if he's just dead.
Just because you want to be a contrarian?
Yeah. I bet that he just lays there the whole time.
He's dead.
Yep.
Like, we can see you breathing. Stop breathing.
And then they try and bring him back, and it doesn't work. And they're just like, huh. Really thought that would have worked. And then it's over.
Yeah, it's credits. Like this big emotional arc, and then all of a sudden it's like, well, that didn't work.
Or they try bringing him back, and it's some hideous monster, like, only half alive kind of thing. So it's really him underneath all the makeup, but he's no longer Jon Snow.
Yeah. I really wish that they tied them more to their wolves. I feel like that's kind of missing... a bigger picture, because in the book I kind of read it as they have a spiritual connection with their wolves, and perhaps that's why Sansa was so lost for so long, because she lost her wolf, and that's upsetting to me.
Now, is that tied to their wolves as opposed to sewed to their wolves?
Ooh.
Yes,
that's cute.
But yeah, no, in the books the dire wolves are a lot, and I don't know if it's a budget thing on the show or if it's just
there's no such thing as a dire wolf, Dave.
Yeah, no, there's not. A lot of times the show has steered away from a lot of like the magic and the mysticism in a lot of ways. We never got like, you know, zombie Catelyn or anything like that. You know, we don't get a lot of like the people being brought back from the dead. We got the Red Priest and that's about it, but it seems like they want to stay more grounded. I don't know if maybe they think that direwolves and dragons are too fantastical, and that's why we only get a little bit of dragons when it needs to be, or if it's just a budget thing. Dragons are expensive, and direwolves, I guess. Because you can't just get a big dog.
They're hard to work with.
Yeah, they're temperamental. Mm-hmm. Their agents are worse and stuff. But I seem to remember someone talking about like that we may get more direwolves this season, and like we might get some of like Nymeria's pack and stuff like that in this.
Well, because they are important. Like they gotta get back to that. Well, I don't know actually. I mean, in the books, it seems like there is some sort of buildup with the direwolves, but maybe there is not. I don't know.
It's all croc.
Maybe it's all just world building.
Yeah.
Yeah, I always assume that when I first read Dance of Dragons, or Jon Snow died, I assumed that he was going to come back like in Ghost or something like that. That like this their connection was so strong that like he would come back in the form of his direwolf. But you know, I don't see that being a possibility now with the way the direwolves have been marginalized.
I don't know.
Huh. All right. Well, so we're all excited for Game of Thrones, right?
Yay.
Back next month. Yes. Everyone's got their HBO Go passwords from friends or family.
Yep.
Loaded up, ready to go.
Yep.
Betcha.
That's right. No one paying for HBO. Yeah, so that should be good. It comes back April. So what about the other big fantasy, the Harry Potter world? Did anybody check out any of the Pottermore stories based around North American magic?
Mm-mm.
What about you, Randy? I know you're a big reader.
That would be a big old negative.
I read the first two. They were enjoyable. I mean, they were just different. And it sounds like they're really setting the world up that magic is, you know, we come from England as, you know, colonists and stuff like that. And that we're people who are very anti-magic. And that we create this, there's this organization called, like, the Scroungers. And they're the ones who, like, find, they're basically, like, the Aurors are for Harry Potter, the people who like go for bad magic users, but these people go for all magic users. And so they had one story was on the Salem witch trials, they're really trying to link this to the Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. And it's really sounding like that magic is a little more powerful and raw in America. To where, you know, in the European magic scene, it's more like kind of refined and it's, you know, more proper. And so we're getting a lot more like beast stuff, like they did one on like Native Americans talking about like, you know, warging or transfiguration, as McGonagall would call it. It kind of got me excited for the prospect of Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. It was just entire world building for that. And Ezra Miller's character, who's going to be the Flash in The Flash, he has a mysterious character in this series. And from his description, it sounds like he may be one of those Scroungers. And they were supposedly hunted down, you know, because they were against magic folks. So it's on Pottermore. There's five stories. I read the first two. I plan to read the other three. But it's definitely worth checking out. They're not terribly long. You could read them, you know, probably all five in, you know, a sitting. And, yeah, I encourage you to check them out.
I feel encouraged.
Yay!
I don't feel the encouragement there that you really want to read it.
No, I want to listen to it.
Yeah.
Or see it.
Maybe one day. I know it does get you excited, though, Justin. CW.
Oh, yeah, all their shows got renewed.
Yeah, every single show on their slate got renewed, including Supernatural for a 12th season.
That's a lot of seasons. I feel like that show ran its course.
I don't even understand anymore.
they basically said that they will do Supernatural as long as the stars want to. Like, the president of the CW basically gave them, like, an open thing. Like, as long as you guys want to do this show, we will produce it for you. So, I mean, that's kind of cool.
That's cool. That's rare.
It is very rare. But, I mean, like,
but, you know, sometimes things just need to end. Right?
Yeah, but I think it's cool that he's letting it go on their terms. Like, I'm sure, you know, one day they'll be like, okay, we really need to end this shit. But it's cool that the powers that be are letting them kind of set the terms. I mean, barring, you know, it becoming like a ratings failure, and they're like, you know what I said, I take it back.
Just kidding.
But letting it end gracefully is overrated.
Yeah, dying with dignity.
Seinfeld did it early.
Yeah. Then everyone hated the last episode.
Yeah. Well, there's not too many finales that live pull up. It off, yeah.
Not like Lost. Knocks it out of the park.
Oh, God.
Or The Sopranos. There was one that just...
Yeah, that was bad, man. I literally thought my DVR fucked up, and I was scared.
So did everybody. You weren't the only one.
I was like, oh my god, no, stupid DVR.
Hey, Joe.
I mean, who does that? Who just ends it and just cuts to immediate black? Like, no credits, no nothing, just fucking disappears?
And all that bullshit with, like, him being shot and, like, being in, like, hallucinating. Like, when I was watching, like, House of Cards, I don't want to spoil anything, but there's a moment where, like, Frank is kind of hallucinating like that, and I'm like, fuck, if this goes on for a whole season like Sopranos, I'm going to be pissed. Like, it was only, like, two episodes.
Did you guys all watch it? Are we done? Is everyone
I'm done.
Up?
I'm about halfway through it.
Next week.
I'm only eight episodes in, so I have, like, four episodes left.
Oh, okay. I binged the shit out of it last night and today. I watched, like, six episodes in the last, like... from last night to this morning, I couldn't get out of bed. I just was watching it until it was over.
Yeah, Amy, she hinders my binging of the show because she wants to watch it. Is it good?
Well, better than season three.
Oh, that's not saying much.
Yeah, it got really, 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 really good. But then I thought that it ended on a weak note.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited. I'm pretty excited where I'm at now.
Okay.
Where are you at, Randy? You said you're about halfway. Like, what happened?
I think I'm about five or six episodes in, so maybe not quite halfway. But he was just moved out of the hospital back into the White House. And okay. I'm trying to think what else has happened.
How fucking nuts was it they shot him?
Yeah.
They killed Meacham.
Yeah.
No, that sucked. I wasn't ready for that.
Well, but, like, when I look back on it, it was like they were totally, like, setting it up because of, you know, their, like, little, you know, relationship because of their friendship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Their magical friendship.
I was hoping that was that and that they weren't setting it up for, like, a rekindle of their friendship. That's the vibe I kept getting was, like, because he kept, like, being, like, in an intimate situation with them. Like, I don't want this to get weird again.
Well, the very first thing the season starts with is just, like, the prison masturbation. It's just, like, that kind of sets the tone.
It does. Yeah, that went dark quick. I'm like, whoa. But, yeah, so far I'm digging it.
Yeah. So what's... Okay, spoiler alert, anybody who got this far, you realize there's an assassination attempt. What's the name of the guy that tries to kill him? The reporter guy?
Lucas?
No, it's like Goodwin.
Goodwin, that's it.
It could be Lucas Goodwin.
Lucas.
But...
Oh yeah, there you go.
I don't know his first name.
Or
but
Luke.
I know his last name's Goodwin.
I was not expecting him to go that route.
Yeah, me neither. He went batshit.
Oh yeah, and then to have it like within the next episode, sure that note that he left behind was completely negated, just saying that he was just a crazy crackpot and those are all wild theories. So it's like he didn't even accomplish anything in his suicide mission.
Yeah, I love Claire Underwood, and I like her more than Frank, and like just seeing her just like manipulate like the vice president and like just like manipulate everything while Frank's under, to where when he comes up he can't even be mad at her because like what she's done is just like kind of a genius move, and he's like, you know what, this is fucking stupid, we need to get together because together we can do anything.
Yeah, I think that was the end of the last episode that I watched. It's pretty much it sounds like he's acquiescing to actually having her as his running mate.
When it got to that part, that was like the episode where I took a break because I had to go live my life. But when I got to that part where they basically reconciled, I just thought like, this is stupid, like. They just went through all this conflict, and for what, really? They just both realize, well, we want power more than we want to be mad at each other. And it's just, like, annoys me that we're four seasons in, and they do all this fucked up shit, but everything still turns out fine for them.
Well, like I think Claire's problem, like, last season was that, like, Frank wasn't willing to, like, admit that, like, it was... Partly was it just as much her getting him there as possible, because he was basically saying like she was nothing without him, mm-hmm. and like, you know, he got shot and he had kind of a come to Jesus moment, and like he admitted to her, like he kind of like said, you know what, you're like, I need you, And, you know, because together we are just so powerful. And then she saw that as her opportunity to weasel her way onto the ticket or wherever this storyline's going. That's how I saw it, to where it was kind of empowering. Like, it was like Claire won. Like, you know, she played this, like, long con. You know, she was going to divorce him, and then, like, she played the vice president like a fiddle. And, like, she did so much that, like, this master manipulator and Frank Underwood is like, oh, this bitch has talent. No, I married her for a reason. It wasn't for her overly warm mother.
Yeah.
But I actually wanted to, since we brought it up, talk about, like, binge-watching shows. And now I was thinking about this. Now, do you guys think that binge-watching is good, is a good thing or a bad thing? And the only reason I'm kind of on the fence of it maybe being a bad thing is, you know, like appointment television, like weekly programs, they're ongoing, and so there's always something to look forward to where it seems like in our cult, in like the binge watch culture, that like these shows get released, everybody binges it, and everyone binges it on like a different schedule, so we don't have this, like, you know, like Blacklist is on Thursdays, so like Friday morning everyone watched Blacklist can talk about it, to where if you binge House of Cards, like, we're all on different episodes and we can't really talk about. And then when we're all done, it seems like we're no longer talking about the show we just binged. We're talking about the next thing. So right now, everyone's done with House of Cards. Not everyone, but a lot of people are done with House of Cards. They're not really talking about it. Now they're waiting. Now they're like, Daredevil comes out this weekend. And then they're going to binge the shit out of Daredevil. And then 2 weeks from there, 2 weeks later, they're not going to be talking about Daredevil. They're going to be talking about whatever's next. Does that make any sense to you, Justin?
It does. It makes perfect sense. It kind of basically killed the water cooler conversation.
Yeah.
And as a viewer, I'm okay with it. But as somebody that goes to work every day, it makes me a little sad.
Well, I mean, in a way, it hasn't changed that much. It's just changed the timetable. It's still, if you want to look at it this way, it's still appointment television. But instead of waiting a week to watch an hour-long episode, you're waiting, you know, 12 months to watch 13 hours of amazingness. Yeah. So it's just like it's a bigger timetable. But yeah. What I find when I binge watch stuff, because I whenever I have time off to just sit and veg, I fucking love to just binge watch. But it's kind of like when I consume something so quickly, it leaves my mind just as quickly. It's like I'll be super into it for like a week and then I won't care.
Yeah, you know? Like it'll we don't give ourselves enough time to sit with it and digest what we just watched.
Right, we've already moved on to the next thing without really enjoying what we just watched.
Yeah, I mean, to put it in kind of cinematic terms, like, what if, okay, so at the end of Empire Strikes Back, we had 3 years to wonder what the hell was going to happen with Han Solo. Is he going to live? Is he going to die? You know, what's going on? Whereas if you just pop the next VHS cassette right into the old player there, you find out immediately what happens when they go rescue him from Jabba's palace.
Like, so, oh, it ended up okay.
Yeah, you know, you worry for 5 minutes and then that's it, as opposed to having something to spur conversations and debates among friends and that sort of thing for years, or in the case, you know, like you're describing with TV, for, you know, the entire next day at work, that kind of thing. So I totally see where you're coming from, and it is a bummer because there is something lost in this binge society.
Now, did we all watch Jessica Jones and enjoy it?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I mean, and like, so I mean, that's a perfect example. We all watched that at different times, and I don't remember ever having a real conversation about it outside of, man, I love this show, I can't wait till you guys are done to talk about it. And then I don't think we ever talked about it.
Yeah.
And so I mean, because as soon as everyone was caught up, we moved on to the next thing, you know, House of Cards or whatever was next. And then I'm afraid that now House of Cards is happening to where next week we're going to have Game of Thrones, and to where Game of Thrones does it the other way. And Game of Thrones seems to be a more involved and speculative conversation because we digest it in pieces instead of just eating the entire cake at once. And to where, I mean, I'm like you guys, I love to binge watch things too, but I'm totally in agreement with Randy that, like, it doesn't stick with me. Like, you know, I can tell you broad strokes of what happened in Daredevil last season, but since I binge watched it, it's like it's not as vivid in my mind, to where, with the exception of last season of Game of Thrones, which is terrible, I have a pretty clear recollection of, like, a Game of Thrones season, or, like, Blacklist, which is, I watch weekly, or The Flash, you know. those shows seem to be sticking with me better, and it's not because they're better shows. I think it's just because I'm ingesting them differently.
Totally agree.
We all agree.
Howard Johnson is right.
Howard Johnson is right. I said that last week, and no one even said anything.
On the show you did?
Yeah.
No, I would have said something.
Listen, it's there.
Oh, I apologize to you and, more importantly, the listeners.
When I heard it on the playback, I was like, no one even responded. Where the white women at? No, nothing.
I didn't get it.
Howard Johnson is right.
You uncultured, crazy lady, you.
You got a list, Randy? That's maybe Howard Johnson-centric?
I do, and it is not, unfortunately.
Are we already on the list?
We're already on the list.
Jesus, that was fast.
Like, I've got 80 minutes in.
I got 10 TV and movie roles that were successfully recast. And I'm not talking about, like, Val Kilmer to George Clooney, Batman, that kind of thing. I'm, like, talking about, like, mid-run in the
continuity. Terrence Howard to Don Cheadle?
That's on the list.
So people so actually were the character for a time and then not the character? Are we talking, like,
Valerie's family turns into the Hogan family?
Well, that was but that wasn't... They didn't bring in...
same person. What's her name? The same role.
This is two actors playing the same role.
It's in the same continuity.
Like the Spider-Man. Or does that change? That resets continuity, so it doesn't matter.
That resets like James Bond like doesn't James really count there. Yeah.
It did sorta with Casino Royale, because it shows him becoming a 007, a 00 agent. People forget that. I'm just throwing that out there.
It's like the mummy.
Yeah. Oh yeah, she changed roles. Or it was a Maria Bello or whatever. Instead of Rachel Wise. Yeah.
She wised up for the third movie.
That movie sucks so bad. I wanted to leave.
Oh my god! Yeah, I remember. I watched it with Randy over here, and as soon as like the Yeti started talking, I looked at Randy. I'm like, did you hear that too?
Yeah.
Did I fall asleep and hallucinate that?
You thought you were hallucinating.
Oh my god! And then Randy looked at me. He's like, "No, that really happened. I don't even know if we finished the movie. I don't know.
It would have been the right thing to do to stop it right there. I don't know if we did stop though.
No, we probably punished ourselves.
Yeah, because I want to love the Mummy movies, which is a whole thing about the new Mummy. But anyway, moving on to our list.
Tom Cruise will kill it. Tom Cruise is amazing.
He is. I will give you that.
He's a national treasure. Not like Nicolas Cage, National Treasure, the great movies, but like actual National Treasure. Like they can look for him in National Treasure 3.
So, number 10 on our list, Back to the Future, Jennifer Parker.
She was recast?
Yeah.
It was a shoe.
So, originally, it was played by a lovely young actress named... Claudia Wells. Sorry, my computer is super slow right now. And this is one of those god-awful list things where you have to like click every page for a different little tidbit of information.
I hate that.
The worst. But anyway, yeah, so after the first movie, they realized that, oh, shit, we really want to incorporate this character more in 2 and 3, and she's a little bit too tall for Michael J. Fox, so let's find somebody that is going to work out a little bit better for him, and there you go.
They recast her just because she was tall?
That's not the only reason, I'm sure, but that's just one of the things that people have said over the years.
I hope that's not true. That seems so shallow.
They recast her twice.
Because this was Claudia Wells the one with Stoltz, or was that was?
No, that was another tall chick. That chick from it was Jan Levinson Gould.
That's right. Yes, and then they got rid of her because she couldn't work. She didn't work well with Eric Stoltz, and then they brought in this other girl, and she was too tall for Michael J. Fox. And then Elizabeth Shue came in the later ones. It's a whole big thing.
Yeah, it's funny because had they realized that they were actually going to do sequels, they wouldn't have put her in the car with Michael J. Fox at the end of the first movie. They really had zero intention of continuing to make those movies. In fact, they didn't put the to-be-continued tag at the very end when the DeLorean flies towards the camera until it was released on home video. Like in the movie theater, they had zero intention of it ever being a franchise movie. And then it just kind of blew up in popularity, and of course... That's when everybody wants their money, so they make the sequels.
Yeah. It's a great documentary on Netflix about it. It's really good. Like Out of Time or
Malora, Back in Time. Back in Time. Yeah.
Malora Hardin is her name. The other chick from The Office, by the way.
Jan,
yeah.
Highly recommend checking it out.
I love Jan.
All right, number 9 on our list. This is from Game of Thrones. Dario Naharis.
Oh, yeah.
So there have been a lot of characters that have been recast along the way in Game of Thrones, they started out, they started out relatively small roles, and then once the roles kind of got more prominent, they decided to put a different actor in there, and a lot of times you don't necessarily notice the difference, or the general TV-watching crowd doesn't, but this is one of those ones that was pretty relatively large speaking role, not large, but, you know, enough to have lines, so... So it generally stood out when the actor changed.
Well, and they look completely different.
They do, yeah. Well, the guy who they got to play him later in the series, the replacement, was also freaking Francis from Deadpool, and then went on to be the replacement for Jason Statham in the Transporter series, which is kind of fun.
Nobody replaces Statham.
I know.
Especially, he took his sloppy seconds.
Especially in Justin's art.
Yeah. I can't believe you haven't seen Spy, Justin. You love Statham. He's so good in it.
That has the lady, though.
I know, but I promise you, you will love Spy because Statham is so... He outshines everybody.
It's like, true. It's, he'll make up for it.
He is a bright beacon of hilarity.
All right.
You'll love it. But speaking of Game of Thrones, did you guys see that Sir Loras is going to be Iron Fist in the Netflix series?
Mm-mm.
Dang, Amanda put me in my place. I'll just shut up.
Loras isn't even that great. Mm. He's kind of lame.
Kind of a steward. Cool. Yeah, he wears that green suit and the yellow, like, do-rag.
Like lightning bolt.
I can't imagine him being...
Remotely interesting?
Yeah.
It's all right.
He's just so dumb as Loras.
The Knight of Flowers, so strong.
Buggery. Yeah. He does buggery.
Remember, like, he gets fucked up in the book.
Yeah. No, wait, what?
So Loras?
Yeah, he gets the shit kicked out of him.
Yeah, they send him to Dragonstone or some shit, and he doesn't win. Spoiler alert.
Doesn't end well for him.
Goes poorly.
He doesn't die, he just gets beat up.
All right, so number 8 on our list.
Only 8?
Dear God.
We're going so fast!
Yeah, I'm going to rapid fire through the end of this,
but,
all right?
No way. I interrupt every single number.
It's my fault. Sorry, Randy.
Number 8, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, Aunt Viv.
Oh, I remember that.
And she's nuts.
She didn't like Will Smith.
Yeah, well, and
oh,
he didn't
really?
Like her, so he
yeah.
had to move from
wow.
the show.
Wow.
Yeah.
And
did
she
you see...
The video that she recorded for the Oscars this year, talking like shit talking on Will
Jada.
Smith, and, yeah. Oh my god,
that was some spill. That was some sour grapes there.
Oh, for sure. All right, number 7, The Dark Knight, Rachel Dawes, originally played by Katie Holmes.
So glad they did that. So glad.
Oh, Randy's not.
Kidding?
He can't
no
stand.
Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Katie Holmes was so awful that anybody was better than her.
Aww. Maggie Gyllenhaal is the worst, and I'm gonna keep this above the belt. She is the worst. Oh my god, Katie Holmes. I just watched Batman Begins yesterday. Katie Holmes is so much better.
The part when she's like, "Yeah, you better run."
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Then she shoots Batman with her taser, and he looks at her like, really?
Talk about rattling cages.
Yeah.
Number 6.
Cages too. What are we talking about here?
Evidence.
What's with the metaphor? Leverage. What's this? Leverage.
Number 6 on our list.
7 to 7.
That was
7. That was real. Sorry. Rachel Dawes.
You are the Brute Squad. Number 6, Iron Man 2 saw the
Rhodey.
The switching of the Rhodeys.
Yeah.
/ War Machine.
I like Don Cheadle.
I do too.
I love him.
He brought a lot of fun to the role.
Yeah.
I made myself watch a whole season of House of Lies just for him.
Oh yeah,
not
you like this show?
No, I don't. It's not I don't really like it. It's too depressing.
You know what movie's not good? Iron Man 2.
He's like drunk all the time.
Yeah. Drunk Iron Man is uncomfortable.
Yeah. I like the part at the race at Monaco because that's my favorite racetrack.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool. And nobody could just get in a car and be amazing at that racetrack, by the way. That's like one of the hardest tracks.
He's like, what's the point of owning a race car? See, the driver in the background is furious.
Yeah, and that would never happen in a million years.
No.
That movie's fake. Iron Man 2 is a fake movie.
No, I don't really like Iron Man 3 that much either.
Iron Man 3 is a different kind of movie. Like, yeah, Christmas. Have you seen it more than once?
No, just once.
You really appreciate like Shane Black's direction and writing. Like when you see it again, it falls apart in the third act. You know when
Pepper Potts saves the day.
Yeah, it falls apart at that point. But like the whole part where he's not Iron Man is actually a pretty good story. But yeah, it falls apart once all the other machines come and he destroys them and he gets a surgery to fix his heart. Like you could have done that this whole time.
Yeah.
Like I thought the whole point,
he couldn't
do
that.
Yeah. He's like, oh, yeah, we can do that. And like, oh.
Roger Rabbit with the handcuffs. Only when taking them off at any time? No, only when it was funny.
Yeah, I'm like, wait, you can get a surgery for that?
I don't know, maybe the technology got better.
Yeah. Modern medicine.
Yeah, as time goes on. I mean, it's just
better than Iron Man?
Because Iron Man 1 is such a perfect movie, like on the level of Back to the Future, just like the perfect movie, just of entertainment, action, everything about it to me is just excellent.
Except how Jeff Bridges all of a sudden is an expert at cruising around in an iron suit.
The Ironmonger.
Yeah, that's kind of.
Yeah, funny. Yeah. Iron Man 1 is amazing, and it's funny that it's so good because it has such a weak villain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but it's so good. Like
Ant Man's
like,
the same way.
You know, he spent a lot of time in the grid learning how to pilot funky vehicles.
He's jacked in, man. It's digital jazz.
Yeah, modern
technology,
William.
We're only halfway through this list.
Sorry.
Halfway through. Number 5, Roseanne.
You're going to make it longer in the show.
I know.
Who'd you say, Rosie O'Donnell?
Roseanne, when they switched out Becky.
Oh, Bond. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
For Sarah Chalk.
You know the names.
Yeah, she was in Scrubs.
Yep. Both true.
She's funny.
She moved out with her boyfriend because she wanted to have sex, but not in their house.
I wouldn't want to have sex in my parents' house either.
And they made a funny joke in like the finale because like John Goodman played DJ in the future, and they were asking him questions about his family, and they got to like Becky, and they're like, they say she's the same, but she doesn't look the same. They say she's the same. So, I killed it.
Number 4, The Honeymooners. Did you know that there was originally a different Alice Cramden?
No.
It wasn't always Audrey Meadows. It was another woman named Pert Kelton who only lasted 7 episodes because she was accused of being a communist and was blackballed.
Oh, shit.
Jesus.
Well, her husband.
Who knows? Say, I don't know any of those names, but now I feel bad.
Did Lucille Ball name her name?
Yeah. Ronald Reagan probably did.
Oh, yeah.
Reagan headed that up.
So that was some serious business. I mean, that was when somebody said, you'll never work in this town again, and they actually meant it.
That was for real.
Yeah, that shit was for real. Not so much anymore these days. Now they'll send you to movie jail, but it's something a little different.
Did you guys see Good Night and Good Luck?
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's some...
I always meant to watch it, and then I never did.
That's a scary time. I'm glad we didn't grow up in that time.
Yeah.
The kind of shit that we say and that gets recorded, we would be in some black site.
Yeah, got Clooney's Oscar.
Yeah, that's true, it did.
He won an Oscar for that?
Yeah, it was the first award of the night, I think.
Yeah, and the first thing he said was, shit, I guess I'm not winning director.
Yeah.
And then he went on to apologize for Batman, and just when you thought you could not love George Clooney anymore, you're like, okay, dude, you're pretty rad. You're better than me in every aspect of life. Did you guys see Trumbo with Bryan Cranston?
Mm-mm.
He plays a blackballed actor in the communist era, and it's just heartbreaking to see, like, just what an accusation could do back then to people, like, ruining lives. Just because somebody said, like, one time you were at this meeting and they think there was communists there. And it's just, like, just the hysteria.
Yeah, it's nuts, dude. The House Committee on Un-American Activities.
Headed by McCarthy and Ronald Reagan.
That's
like, Ronald Reagan turned on everybody. and he was president. So it pays off.
And then he had his finger on the button for 8 years.
Yeah. Or like six of them. And the other two, he's like, where's my pants?
All right. Number three. Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban saw a replacement of Dumbledore.
I'm okay with that. Yeah, I like the new guy.
Yeah. Richard Harris was the old guy and Michael Gambone or whatever.
Gambone, yeah. Richard Harris was cool. He brought a lot of like aged wisdom to it, but Michael Gambone had a little bit more life and, you know, exuberance. Of course, I think he was a little bit younger and in better health, of course. That helps, but...
Yeah, the physicality he was able to bring to the role, like actually like running around and interacting, that Richard Harris just was
too fucking
do.
Old to do, yeah.
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 Have you seen that meme of him from the Goblet of Fire when he's asking Harry if he put his name in the goblet?
He's like having a freak out?
Yeah, but in the book, he's just like, did you put your name in the Goblet of Fire, Harry? Yeah. Dumbledore asked calmly, and then... He's like,
look at me! Did you put your name in that fucking goblet? I'm gonna shake you. Shake you like a crying baby. I know, it's terrible. You know what's funny is I actually remember Chung. He commented on Facebook. He went to a midnight show and everything. And his biggest takeaway was how much he hated that scene. He's like, I don't think that Dumbledore would have done that to Harry. He would have... Hey, you're not alone, Chung.
Yeah. He's like, you're making me look bad.
There are people from other schools.
You're embarrassing me, Harry. I put a fucking wicked awesome spell on that shit, and somehow you cheated.
You outfoxed me.
You ungrateful little fuck. I've been trying to protect you all this time. People die, Harry.
You're going to probably die. I can't protect you with it. It's going to be dragons. Yeah. I should be telling you this. They're dragons.
And that hedge maze wasn't done well. Like, no. There was like wind coming after you, and that's bad. I don't know. I didn't get it.
Yeah. I Goblet of Fire is the weakest movie for me. Like, I don't connect to it.
Yeah, I don't like his hair. It's hard for me to like it because he's got a bad haircut.
Yeah.
I swear to God, his hair is the worst.
I agree 100%.
It's pretty bad. Yeah.
And then the same thing with, I don't like the second challenge. I think the dragon stuff is cool, like the first challenge, but the second challenge where they're underwater is kind of so-so. And...
Yeah. I forget what the name of the dragon is that one kid pulls up, but Crouch is really excited. He goes, ooh.
Don't.
It makes me laugh every time.
Oh, here's that. This is the meme you guys are talking about.
The meme?
The Mimi.
Was that number one, Randy?
Number three.
Where'd he go? Did we lose him?
I'm here.
Sorry.
No, we still got two more to go.
We'd like
all right, number two
is totally silent. You wouldn't like us.
Batman 66, Catwoman.
Oh yeah.
So. First, it was portrayed by Julie Newmar for 2 seasons, then Lee Merriweather, and then finally rounding things off with Eartha Kitt.
Julie Newmar is beautiful, by the way. I had the pleasure of actually seeing her at the when they announced that that Batman series was going to Blu-ray. She was there at Comic-Con, and she is a silly lady. She is just a funny, funny lady. She's on top of things. And I was just delighted to meet her. It was cool.
Oh, nice.
I mean, we talk about, you know, in the era of the 80s where beauty is just dialed back to like a 2. And Julie Newmar, if you look her up when she was doing shit in the 60s and 70s, she's drop-dead gorgeous. I don't know if they get any more beautiful than her.
Like Tu Wong Fu.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for everything, Julie.
Julie Newmar.
You're fantastic. But I mean, look at her IMDb page. Like that photo of her, it just has this Hollywood glamour all over it. It's amazing.
Yeah, she's one of a kind.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're at last number one on our list. Bewitched: The Switching of the Darrens. With Dick York was replaced by Dick Sargent. couple of dicks.
Yeah. Really?
Well, there's a dick.
Yeah.
I like dicks.
Yeah, I know you do.
Heard like, that about you.
I like pretty dicks. I don't like no ugly ones.
Yeah, curvy ones.
Do you hear there's a whole thing now about, like, people not circumcising their kids, like, yeah, saying it's genital mutilation, and it really serves no purpose anymore. It's like, you don't need it to be cleanly. Like, this isn't hundreds of years ago where we lacked, like, soaps and antibacterial stuff that we can properly wash ourselves with, so there's no reason to cut it.
Yeah, I think that's crazy.
Being now, the father of two boys.
I was just going to ask.
I look at my penis and I'm like, I'm glad I'm circumcised.
Well, I'm like, what about your kids?
Oh, yeah, 100%. Okay. Like, poor Zach. They had, like, an opening. So, like
he squeezed him in?
Yeah, they squeezed him in.
Hack job.
Zach got circumcised, like, at, like, 9 hours. Like, that poor kid. Like, he'd been in this world 9 hours and someone already lopped off part of his penis. I'm like, it's going to be a rough life, kid.
Yeah, no, I'm a fan of the cut job, man.
Yeah.
I mean, they're definitely more attractive looking.
But it's always, like I've seen people bitch about that on, like, Facebook. And you know what? It's always girls.
Girls.
Like, they're complaining. Like, I never see, like, a guy, like, you know, I wish my dad hadn't cut off my foreskin. I really like the anteater look.
Yeah.
I really like it in porn when it's, like, a cyclops coming out.
Yeah, I don't like that at all. That's so gross. Not a fan.
Yeah.
Reminds me of the sandworm scene in Dune.
I don't think that. Yeah, there you go. I don't think that kids. I remember when I worked at Things Remembered in the mall, there was a kiosk for people to get their ears pierced, and it always made me cringe when parents would bring their little toddlers or infants to get that done. I didn't see any reason for that, but
yeah, let them be old enough to make their own decisions.
Yeah, that seemed a little fucked up. Like, you would see them, like, because they're gonna go have be baptized or something like that. So for the photos, they wanted them to have earrings or something. I don't know, but it's fucked up.
Yeah, I don't get, like, babies. Like, I see, like, people, like, kids, like, 6 months old with their ears pierced. I'm like, don't want to wait a little bit?
What's this text? Did you send me a picture of your kid's foreskin? Are you saving it? Is it in the freezer?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's both my kid's foreskin next year, so you can see which one was bigger.
Eat it with a side of placenta.
It's a funny Harry Potter picture.
It is. That's funny. That is horrible hair, man. I hate it.
It is both horrible hair and a horrible message.
Yeah.
I love that meme.
It's pretty good. So that was a great list, Randy.
Fantastic list.
You know how you can tell it's a good list, Randy? We interrupted you the entire time because we were engaged and interested and wanted to play along.
Yeah, it wasn't like top foods from serial killers or anything like that.
Yeah.
So, but you know what I discovered? If I want to get through the list quickly, I need to turn it into a game because that shit flies by.
Yeah, I like long lists, though.
I do, too. It's
tangent material.
Well, not that we really need any excuse to go on tangents. That kind of comes naturally. But I too, enjoy it. Mm. I give you a hard time, but I enjoy it.
You know what I don't enjoy? Interstellar. I watched it again today.
Why would you do that?
I don't know. I'm convinced that I'm wrong and that everyone else is right for liking it. And I hate it so much.
Everybody else.
Ugh. I'm just concerned that I'm not seeing what they see.
You know, you are entitled to your own opinion.
I know, but I just feel like this is one that I might be wrong on, but I'm not. Every time I watch it, I hate it even more.
When do you care about?
I don't know. It's just weird. I feel like I'm missing something.
You're not. It's a poor story. It's structurally terrible.
So I don't need to watch it again.
Yeah, and it's and from a tone perspective, it's a tonal mess from the perspective of just following characters, like what their motivation is and what's important to them. And I mean, like, the whole film is based around him wanting to get back to his daughter, gets back to her, spends 3 seconds with her, and she's like, well, I got other family now, so I'm gonna go hang with them. You go steal this spaceship, you have no idea how to pilot, and go find Catwoman.
Right. Randy's favorite.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're presumably gonna be the same age, even though he's been away from her for so long. It's fucked up. Doesn't make sense.
The only aspect of that movie that I found, like, that I kind of liked, and it could have redeemed it if it had been a a story thread they picked up on was that Anne Hathaway wanted to go to that planet because there was a guy there she liked. And so she was the only character following her heart and her gut and following the instincts that made humans great.
Uh-huh. And she was right.
Yes, as opposed to like everyone thinking logically and cold, which is what doomed the Earth to, you know, doomed the Earth and doomed people on that planet. And they didn't follow her, and she was right. You know, the planet she wanted to go to, that she was being drawn to, would have been their salvation. Mm-hmm. And I think that would have been a really fun message of all the science in the world led us to this path. Love, compassion, and the things that make humans great would have led us to the right area. But, you know, Nolan can't be bothered to have an emotional core after Dark Knight. Mm. Like he just checks out. Like, Dark Knight Rises, I watched yesterday, it's just awful. Like, it looks like Christopher Nolan is like Gus Van Sant from Dogma. Or from Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, I'm sorry. Just like, Jesus Christ, Ben, I'm busy. Can you think I'm busy?
A true artist.
But I'll get off my soapbox. Anybody got anything else? Anything else fun you want to shout out and chat and kick out?
I don't know.
The Pixelated Podcast is back.
What'd you think of it? It was a pretty funny episode. I listened to it.
I enjoyed it thoroughly. You guys didn't miss a beat.
No, it was pretty good. Yeah. I listened to it over the weekend, and I enjoyed it.
That reminds me, I need to resubscribe.
I was impressed.
Yes, it was very good. But yeah, Amanda, you got any shout-outs or special thank yous or special hellos for someone special?
That's a lot of special.
No.
I mean, tomorrow is the Ides of March, so maybe...
Oh.
Actually, today, right now, is the Ides of March, so, you know, better watch back.
I think I'll be okay.
All right. What about you, Randy? You always got something.
Not this time.
Or last time.
So, take that. Two times in a row. I fooled you.
This was used, man.
This was used, man.
Think about it. God, I love that movie. Falling Down. Check it out if you haven't seen it. It's pretty good.
It almost redeemed Schumacher. Almost.
Oh, man. I thought that pretty much said Schumacher's the man because he had The Lost Boys and then he had Falling Down. What else you need, man?
And then a string of just awfulness.
Dave, it's your attitude.
Oh, okay. You a big fan of Cousins?
Oh, that's no. I like
with Ted Danson.
I like the Batman movies.
Oh yeah, which one do you like?
Oh, I like the one with Freeze.
Nope, no, you don't.
With the bird, the bird boy.
No.
Yeah, that's good.
You like Flatliners? You're a big Julia.
Oh, Harris. I like Flatliners. Remember we were talking about that. I have it here, and there was something about Kiefer Sutherland not fearing death or something like that. Hold on. Let me find the box. It says, versus on the cover, it says, some lines shouldn't be crossed. Right? And then on the back, it says, are you afraid to die? Question mark. Kiefer Sutherland isn't. That's great. I don't know, man.
I'm going to go on record as saying Schumacher's last good film was A Time to Kill in 96.
Oh, I like that movie. Yes, they deserve to die, and I hope they burn in hell.
Yes. After that, it goes Batman and Robin, 8mm, Flawless, Tigerland, Bad Company, Phone Booth, The Phantom of the Opera, number 23, Blood Creek, 12, Trespass, The Killing Floor, and two episodes of House of Cards.
Oh.
Probably the worst episodes, too.
I don't know about that. He likes Kiefer Sutherland, huh? He's in a couple of those movies that you rounded out.
Yeah, he's in the Phone Booth.
Yeah, he's the voice, right? He's the phone killer.
He's the bad guy. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
Man, in case you haven't seen this movie from 2000.
I saw some trailers that I don't really remember any of the movies. One was like a Shane Black movie that might have had... Who's the guy that everyone likes that has the scorpion jacket in that movie Driver?
Oh, Ryan Gosling.
Yeah, Ryan Gosling's in it, and he plays like an idiot, and then there's some other guy.
Are you talking about The Nice Guys?
Yeah! That's it. I saw that trailer. That looked kind of funny.
Yeah. It's going to be great. It's got Matt Bomer's in it, too.
He does. Like, watch the trailer, man. That's funny.
Yeah, well, it's like Russell
Crowe. That's it.
And, like, Ryan Gosling's like the young idiot.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, like
yeah, there you go. It looks funny. Keith David's in it, for crying out loud.
You know it's going to be good. You left 10 minutes ago with Woogie. Like, oh, I'm just fucking with you.
Oh, man.
Ted Wooganass.
Yeah, that look that he gives, like, duh. Wooganowski, that shit's funny. Just
give me an autograph, sign something real nice to the kids.
Baseball, what baseball? want to give him a present.
Are you yelling at baseball?
Oh, sorry. I hate how we do that sometimes.
What, get the beans above the Franks?
Yeah, how you and I just start spouting out stupid quotes from movies that no one has seen on this show.
Yeah.
The rest of the world's seen it, but Randy and Amanda have not.
No.
You fall in the cracks a lot.
That's why I stopped listening to you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't watch movies.
That makes sense.
I'm excited for Shane Black's The Predator. I bet he brings it back. And he was actually in Predator.
Yeah, he died pretty quickly, though.
Yeah, like 2 seconds in. I didn't say it lasted long, but he's in it. Yeah, he's a talented writer.
Mm-hmm.
I guess he writes everything in Hollywood and just doesn't get credit for it. Him and Christopher McQuarrie, like, half the scripts in Hollywood have been, like, doctored by them.
Oh, you know what I learned today? That Mrs. Doubtfire was originally a Home Improvement movie spinoff.
What?
Yeah, like, they were going to... The show was doing so well that they were going to have a movie, and in the movie, Tim and Jill got a divorce, and the only way that he would get to see the kids is if he dressed up like a lady to be the nanny.
What?
And Tim Allen hated the idea, but then the producers were like, well, you know, maybe we can turn this into something else. And then they made the movie. They made Mrs. Doubtfire.
No way.
Yeah. Isn't that nuts? I mean, I don't know if it's true, but I read it on the internet, so it's got to be true.
Well, yeah. If it's on the internet, Randy. Or Justin, sorry. Well, the internet's got to be true.
I read it on the internet.
Yeah, it's got to be true. It's printed.
Yeah. Yeah. Can't print stuff that's not true on the internet.
Yeah, that's the rules.
Nice. Well, cool. Well, this is a fun episode. Hopefully everyone enjoys the tangents at the end. But if you stuck around to the end, congratulations. Tweet at us, at Geek Legacy.
I made it to the end. I survived the Geek Legacy podcast.
Let's give you like a what kind of hashtag can we give them so they can like prove that they reached the end?
We'll
what do
never
we say?
Forget.
What did
what?
We
what number episode are we on?
I don't know. 182?
Probably.
Something like hashtag I survived 182.
There you go. Hashtag I survived 182.
That's really what it is, though.
I want to see that shit trending.
Me too.
It's not gonna be trending.
Like period. I want
sorely disappointed.
It is 182. Yeah. How about that?
It's been a worldwide trend. But yeah, make sure you like us on Facebook as well and listen to the other podcast. We're just talking about Justin and Steven doing the Pixelated Podcast again, which is a fantastically entertaining show. And then we also have Tyler and Jeff, who do the Comic Corner podcast, which is equally entertaining. I think Tyler's finally starting to get his punches in, so he's standing up to the abusive spouse that is the mighty Jerd. But yeah, make sure you go to geeklegacy.com for all your news and reviews.